and unto the Son in Peter, 1 Peter. What a wonderful thing it is if you, this great port of redemption, you know that the verse 18 of the first chapter, you know that ye were redeemed, praise God, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, higher up, not with anything from tradition from our fathers. How much of us were nearly damned by the tradition we received from our fathers. Just a traditional way of going on. But we've been redeemed with the blood of Christ. Isn't it a marvellous thing that God bring it right out of everything that's merely religious? This redemptive blood of Christ. And then it goes on to follow forth through in verse 22, you have purified yourselves. Is that right? You've been redeemed. You have purified yourselves. Here's this great thought of purity. Purified yourselves in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And so we will always check up our purity, beloved, as to whether we love the brethren unfeignedly. You purify your souls unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And this great thought is here again. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Glory, that's your Greek word zeo, meaning the boiling point, fervently. Love one another at the boiling point. It's a tremendous word. Some people would spell it with an R, zero, but it isn't. Z-E-O, not Z-E-R-O. But to love one another at the boiling point. This is the normal temperature of a true church. Glory, boiling point. And when you think that it's the fervor of this tremendous love of the Lord. And then if you look, though that be true, that we are redeemed like this and we are purified, yet still in verse 7, you've got to be refined. The trial of your faith, much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. That's the refining of this gold. Amen. That's the transparent purity of New Jerusalem. You remember its streets were gold like fine glass, and it's transparently pure. There's still the refining, and this is the reason, beloved, why we have our trials. Because though pure, we still need to be refined. Glory be to God. What a wonderful thing it is. I understand that the true diamond is pure diamond. When it's sort of dug out, it's still pure, but it's got to be chipped and polished and refined and knocked into shape and all sorts of things like that. And that's exactly, beloved, what's happening to us. But, of course, we're being kept in verse 5 by the power of God in all this. At any moment, during the refining and in this great purity, because we're redeemed, we're being kept ready to be revealed as to what we really are. Praise the name of the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. And if it's revealed that you are a refined, pure, redeemed soul, well, blessed be the name of the Lord. That'll be a wonderful thing, won't it? And if we're all revealed to be like this. And if you go into the second chapter, we can see this too, that in verse 6 we're told that God speaking, he has laid in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And you therefore which believe, act, the Greek here is the preciousness. Amen. This precious Jesus, this preciousness of Jesus is unto us. Preciousness. All the preciousness of Jesus. And I believe this means his preciousness to God. Now that's all unto us. All the preciousness is unto me. Just how much he means to Father is all unto me. This is a wonderful thing. I don't know how often you might have sat back and tried to think how precious Jesus is to you. How really precious he is to you. And if he is chosen, that is in verse 6, he's a chief cornerstone, chosen, the word elect and precious. And have you chosen him because he's so precious? Do you choose him for his preciousness to you? Not because of his utility to you, that he saved you from suffering for your sins or being penalized, but because he's precious. What a precious thing this is, to be able to choose him. And then to see in verse 9, we are a chosen generation. Whole generation of these chosen beings. All precious, with the preciousness of Jesus. Now this is how we're to love one another. And this is how we're to see one another. Purchased with his blood, purified, precious. Why, this is marvelous, isn't it? To be in this state, one with another. You know, beloved, these are the things that governing things and determining the coming together of God's saints, whether we're all precious to one another. When we're precious to one another, we're there. Of course I know there are circumstances that prevent us coming together, but none of us voluntarily wanting to stay away, but being together because we're really precious to one another. Because there's something wonderful about it, so that nothing else on this earth has any real attraction to us. Oh, absenting only for the will of God, if God wants us and wills us and directs us elsewhere, well, that's fine. But, oh, to be there. And in verse 2 of chapter 1, we are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. You see, we're told in verse 22 that it's in this great obedience that we are purified. You know, it's a marvelous thing, beloved, that we can do this, constantly purifying our souls from all lesser things. This is a daily, of course. It isn't because we obeyed his call and came 10 years ago. but that we obey daily what he wants us to do. And here's the constant purifying. No disobedient person is a pure person. But to walk on obediently with the Lord keeps us in this great purity. And that's a marvelous thing, brother. No wonder we're called a chosen generation. Amen. And we're chosen to show forth his praises. Verse 9 of chapter 2. We're to show forth the praises of him who's called us. That word praises, you will have heard it before, if not having it in your version or margin, is the word virtues. Show forth the virtues of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so a redeemed people is a virtuous people. Virtuous with the virtues of Jesus. It's one thing to have been purified from our old unvirtuous ways. It's another thing to go on now and show forth the virtues of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, those qualities of character that made him such a wonderful Savior. Such a virtuous person. The Lord help us all, beloved, to walk in this glorious way with him. Because in verse 24 of the first chapter, all flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of God. It's only the glory of God. It's only the virtues of Christ that are going to remain. All things that are glorious in man's sight are just going to be destroyed. Well, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Praise the name of the Lord. You know, beloved, we've been called into something tremendous. Mm-hmm. And it's a marvelous thing that we should be here together in this room tonight. We'll have no stupid ideas about it, we're the only people in the world, but let's get that idea. But we're here in this room tonight, and we've been called by God. We've heard his call. And you know it isn't everything. You can walk across that road and say, have you heard God's call? I guarantee that nearly 99 out of every 100 will say no. You hear what I said, you know, the call of God. I'm not saying whether they believe it or not. I was talking with a young man, I think it was Monday night. Well, quite a group actually on Monday night of young people. This young man, he's been trapped in spiritism, a complete outside. I said, you know, I've almost believed there was a God. The amazing part about it is that he got trapped in spiritism, but it served. He wasn't really trapped in spiritualism, he was trapped in one of these infernal things that lead into spiritualism, connected with the evil spirit, that is the Ouija board. And this glass moving on a mirror to spell out words. And he said, although this was the devil's work, it convinced him of God. This was the strangest part about it. It the more confirmed him about God. And he was sitting there, and on Monday night he heard the call. You see? Praise God. It's a wonderful thing to hear the call of God in your heart. To know this irresistible drawing. We go through all kinds of processes. We feel vile and unclean at some period. Well, bless the Lord, we can be purified. we feel lost and outside as we go on, feeling the darkness, yes, that's all right. There's light for us. There's redemption for us. There's belonging to the people of God. You know, either you feel one of them or else you don't, man. You either know you are or you're not. You can't, there's no messing about with it. You feel one with the people of God or else you don't. Nobody can deceive themselves about this. This is a thing in the spirit. I don't mean of a particular group. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people of God. You're a chosen people, you see. You can't dash in just when you want. You're called and you're chosen here. Yeah, he's God's our Father. And we're not redeemed with anything traditional. Nothing we've received from our parents at all. We thank God for it. We've had a good sort of grounding, but blessed be the name of the Lord. How personal this is, isn't it? Absolutely personal. It's wonderful to belong to the people of God. Glory and all this preciousness. It's this, when we talk about the preciousness, if I understand anything about it at all, it's that thing that sort of sweeps over your heart and just sort of carries you away. When you're sitting in his presence, or reading the book, or lying on your face, or praising his name, or what it be, that preciousness of the Lord Jesus that I suppose really has its chiefest value to us when it reduces us to silence. And we can't do anything else but just love him. It absolutely sweetens the mind. It's so potent, this preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It brings the whole being into a rapture. This is what it does. It's this powerful and potent and glorious as that. And it's this alone, beloved, that will enable us to show forth the virtues of Jesus. Nobody will be able to show forth the virtues of the Lord Jesus who isn't enraptured with him and finds him to be precious. You see, to show forth virtue, beloved, you will all know that nobody can make a law about that. You can't decide to show forth virtue. Virtue is something intrinsic of the personality and the character. It's not something legally that can be laid down. You can't do that. And as the old writer said, who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? This is what the old writer said in the scripture, saying that a man, of course, was the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't have to find him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He called us. We were groping about in the dark, and we heard his call. This is a precious and glorious thing. No wonder then, as I say in verse 11 of that second chapter, dearly beloved. This is it. We're dearly beloved. You know, that's a precious thing in itself. Isn't it? To know how dearly you're loved. And to really know it in your heart that God loves you dearly. Well, that's the sort of thing that means that you'll get wrapped up into his bosom, isn't it?
Yes.
When you're dearly beloved, that's the sort of thing that means that you're just in the secret of love, doesn't it, if you're dearly beloved?
Mm-hmm.
It's a personal thing, sort of distant thing. It's a wonderful, heartwarming, glorious thing. It's something the heart can settle down on, and in which you can know uttermost contentment, because we're dearly beloved. This is the genius of God, that He can love us all like that. And we're to love one another with a pure heart. Praise God. Fervently. My. If we're all boiling together. Glory be to the name of God. Now, when you're boiling, you bubble. Is that right? That's right. That seems to be the mark of boiling. And that's what they used to teach me when I was a boy, that my heart is bubbling over with its joy, joy, joy. One of the choruses they used to teach me. And this is how we're to be, beloved. It's not just cold water filling a glass and overflowing, but it's something that's bubbling up, boiling inside. That's what the Bible says. And it doesn't say, oh, just when you feel happy. Blessed are those whose love can boil up and boil over when they're in the midst of the refining fire. When the trouble's on, when the pressure's on, all part of God's wonderful ways with us, beloved. So that we know that He's with us. Alright, I think I'm going to leave it there. I'm sure there's much more to be said, Lord. Amen. Amen.